Good morning.
Good morning.
I am your guest speaker today. No, but thank you for joining us this morning, whether or not you're here in person or joining us online. It's always a joy to have you with us. I want to thank John Hansen and Gary Timmer and the Teen Challenge group for giving Serena and I kind of a little stay-batical, okay, that we needed over the last 3 weeks, and we needed it. How many of you know there are times when you need to be ministered to rather than ministered to? Amen? Amen. Serena and I, you know, when we're gone, we're reminded, and you know, like when we visit other churches and you have expectations, right? Don't you? You do. But when you visit other churches, I'm reminded of how blessed we are to have Pastor Josh as our worship leader. Amen? Come on, give him a hand. And the praise team. It's just, and I've said it before, but Serena and I can hardly wait until we get back to our worship, okay, our worship, when we've been away. So, it's been 3 weeks since my last sermon, okay? And I'm excited this morning. It always seems like when I take time off, I'm kind of a little bit nervous almost to get back in the pulpit. I don't know why, but the nerves are gone now, so I'm okay, all right? But I can't wait to tell you today what God has given me for you. Amen? Amen. So let's get started and stand with me, please, here at Aerobics Assembly of God. All right, we're going to cite or whatever our Bible declaration today, so grab your Bible. Oh, you're already doing it. Look at that. Check it out. All right. Are you ready? Okay. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today, I will be taught the Word of God. I'll boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same. Say that line again. I'll never be the same. Now say it like you really mean it, because you're going to change today. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, let's go. Amen. Let's go. You can be seated. Yeah. We are in part 5 of our series, The Lord is My Shepherd, and today we're going to read Psalm 23. Out of the NASB 2020 edition, okay? All right, 2020 updated edition. Are you ready? How many are going to be able to read that out of their Bibles or are going to have to look up here? I can read it out of my Bible. All right. Are you ready? All right. The Lord is my shepherd. I will not be in need. You can say it with me. It's okay. The Lord is my shepherd. I will not be in need. Second time. I'll say it myself. The Lord is my shepherd, I will not be in need. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for the sake of his name. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup runs over. How many of you feel like today, when you think about what Jesus has done for you, and you think about your cup, my cup runs over. Amen? As he's done so much. All right. My cup runs over, and my cup overflows. Certainly, goodness and faithfulness will follow me all the days of my life, and my dwelling will be in the house of the Lord forever. Amen? Forever. The title of the message today is The God of Guidance, all right? The God of Guidance. Let's look back just for a moment as we get started to what we've learned so far about what it is that God actually promises to you and I in the 23rd Psalm, we being the sheep of his pasture. In the first verse of Psalm 23, we are promised supernatural provision. You know, you ought to get excited about that this morning, amen? In other words, God will always provide you with the provision that you need for the day. Amen? You never have to worry about not having what it takes to get through the day. God will provide that for you. Hallelujah. Secondly, in verse 2, he promises that we will always have supernatural protection, whether it's from the devil or disasters. We will be protected. Glory to God. He came to this earth to do what? To overcome the devil. Amen? To make a show of him openly. Come on. Where are you guys here today?
Yeah.
Amen? All right. In the second half of verse 2, he promises us supernatural peace. Okay? No matter what is going on around us, he will surround us with peace. That's good stuff. In verse 3, he promises to give us supernatural restoration when he says, he restores my soul. And that means that when we may mess up, how many of you know what it's like to mess up? All right. God will restore us to a better place than we were ever in before we messed up. Now that's really good stuff. All right. Number 5, the fifth promise that the Lord makes to us as our good shepherd. Say, God is my shepherd. It's found in the second part of verse 3, 3b, all right, where David writes this. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Gary, could you come and pray for the message, please?
Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Father, we are so thankful that we can be here today, God, and experience you. Lord, and I thank you that that doesn't stop, but Father, that your presence could just intensify as we learn your word and go through your word. Father, I pray that you would just instill in each one of us, God, what Pastor West preaches today. Lord, that it would become real to us, God, that we would grab a hold of it, Lord, and that we would walk out of this place and never be the same as we declared earlier. Father, we thank you for Pastor West, God. We thank you for his heart to seek after you, Lord, his mind to just dig into your scripture, God, and Father, his willingness just to come and share with us. Father, I pray that he would be excited today. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said,
amen. Amen. And amen. Thank you, Gary. I can't speak for you this morning, okay? But I'm just loving looking into the 23rd Psalm. Amen? When I see and when I understand all of the promises that we are given, it just cements inside of me and in my heart the overwhelming goodness of God. I mean, if you ever doubted that God was good, after reading Psalm 23, you no longer doubt that he's good. Amen? Amen. When I think of all he's given me and all he's done for me, and when I think he's done it all, he's really just getting started. Amen. That excites me, whether it does you or not. It does me. I mean, when I think of it, you know, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor either has entered into the heart of man those things which God has in store for them that love him. Glory to God.
Amen.
Glory to God. Amen. And now this promise that he gives us, the one that I find out where I'm never alone, you and I are never alone, and he's always guiding us. I mean, being a Christian is awesome. Amen? It's awesome. We're not left on our own to do it. In fact, we can't do it on our own. We have someone that does it for us, and his name is Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. But just like a shepherd directs his flock where to go and where not to go, because, you know, it's just as important that you listen to him where not to go as when you listen to him where to go. All right, Jesus demonstrates his care for us to such a degree that he demonstrates his desire to lead us through each and every day and every step of our complicated life. Sometimes our lives get complicated, amen? Sometimes it's not just so easy as getting up in the morning, having a great day, and going to bed at night. All right, there's complications that come up, and sometimes we don't know how to deal with those things. But you know what? If you will submit yourself to God, God has promised in the 23rd Psalm that he will lead you, amen? He will lead you anytime, anywhere. Glory to God. Let me ask you a question this morning, although I think I know the answer to it. Have you ever found yourself in a situation where you can't seem to make a decision? All right? It's terrible. I mean, you get thrown back and forth, and you're somewhat afraid to make that decision anyway. Anybody?
Yes.
All right. And you really need a God to speak wisdom into your life about the situation. I want you to know that Psalm 23, verse 3b, all right, speaks directly to that life problem, if I can say it like that, this morning. He goes right in to whatever it is. He goes right into the root, and he takes you and he leads you. That leading, my friend, is exactly what God has promised to do for you and I. He's going to give us supernatural guidance for whatever problem or whatever situation we might go in. Numerous scriptures let us know this, and they confirm to us that he's totally committed to giving his guidance and direction for our lives. And I'd like to read you just a few of those a moment if I could. See, many ways that God speaks to us and directs our steps, of all of them ways that he can do that, all of those ways that he can do that. See, I've been gone too long. I can't even talk right. He speaks to us a lot of times out of the Word of God.
Right.
The Bible, all right? The Bible is foundational to all the ways that he speaks to us. Let me give you a number of scriptures, if you will, to prove this promise of his supernatural guidance to you. Psalm 32:8 tells us, speaking of God, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. He doesn't just provide direction for us. He leads us. And there's a big difference right there. He's with us when we're going somewhere. Amen? He doesn't just tell us and then abandon us. He takes us there. Glory to God. Then there's Psalm 37:23, where it says, the steps of a good man or a good woman are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way or her way. See, he not only orders our steps, he not only knows what they're going to be, all right? He orders the steps of his sheep, and he finds pleasure in doing that. It's not like he looks at it as a burden. He finds pleasure in doing that. Do you understand? That means that he never gets tired of being with me. Amen? One day I was sitting here, and please take this the way it is. Sometimes when God speaks to you, it comes across different to other people, but I want you to understand this. I was sitting here in the front row praying, and all of a sudden the overwhelming presence of God came into the room. You ever had that happen?
Yeah.
Just came. And so I, being the inquisitive guy that I am, I said, what do you want? You know what he said to me? I just want to be with you. And I thought, do you know me? I just want to be with you. And he feels the same way about every one of his children. He just wants to be with you. And that's not making his grandeur anything less than what it is, his power anything less than what it is. He wants to be with you. Truly wants to be with you. He delights in your way. Psalm 73:24. You will guide me with your counsel, and afterwards receive me to glory. What this is saying to us is that the wisdom of his word, glory to God, the wisdom of his word not only leads us in the right direction in this life when we follow it, but it also leads us to a life with him in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Don't ever let anybody tell you that the word of God is out of date. Don't let anybody ever tell you that the word of God is not necessary for you. Don't ever listen to anybody that tells you, I've read the word of God once.
I know.
All right? Because it's alive and powerful every day that you read it. Hallelujah. See, if we include him in our lives, and that can be difficult because it gets so busy, and you have so many things on your mind. But if we will but include him in our lives, he will lead us through this life. Now, I don't know about you, but that encourages me. Because there's times, maybe even in making decisions for the church or in my own personal life, when I don't know what to do. I weigh both sides or all 50 sides or whatever it is. And I can't decide which way is the way to go. But God's word will always take me from where I am to where I need to go. Amen? I mean, have you ever done that? Have you ever wondered, what are you going to do? And you open the word just to read because, you know, it was that time of the day that you were going to read. This is why it's always good to read in the morning. Anyway, and you opened the word and the word spoke right to your situation. Amen? That's because God's word is alive. It is. It's alive. All right? All right. And finally, Proverbs 3:6, we're told to, in all your ways. How many ways? How many? In all your ways, acknowledge him, and then what will happen, the Bible says, and he shall direct your paths. You see, it's important that he's included. Now listen, what does that really mean to you and I? What does that mean that he's always there, huh? It means that in the dark times, it means in the sad times, in the confusing times, in the happy times as well, all the time, he leads me and he leads you. Say, he always leads me. And he is graciously, my goodness, Lord, help me here today, will you? And he has graciously given us his word so that we can know his mind and so that we can know his will and his ways. Amen? We know that every verse, all right, every verse of Scripture is packed full of wisdom and his counsel, and they're contained within his promises. Do you understand what I'm saying? God's word, there's nothing like God's word when you need wisdom. Nothing like his word. And you can look at it and you can read it and you can say, yeah, but I don't think that really applies to today. Try it. Because if you do it God's way, things work out the right way. Amen? Amen. This is why David also made this statement in Psalm 119, 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You see, when we can't see where we are going nor understand what's happening around us, God's word will ultimately illuminate the direction of our divine destiny for us. Never set aside the word of God. How many of you know that it's possible for you to hear God's voice speaking through the verses of the Bible? Then you know, if you really believe that, I'm going to meddle. If you really believe that, wouldn't you read it every day? Doesn't that make sense? Yeah. Yeah, it does. But the fact that God can speak to us through the Bible today, though it was written so many years ago, you know, that statement in itself isn't spooky, it's supernatural. Because God is a supernatural God.
Amen?
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Does that make sense to you this morning?
Yes.
Could everybody say yes so I don't feel bad?
Yes.
Good, good. But in addition to God's word leading us and giving us light for our destiny, okay, He has also blessed us with the priceless gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to God, the priceless gift of the Holy Spirit, who will also speak to us and lead us through this life. But you have to understand something here this morning, and please hear this part, okay? The Holy Spirit's voice will never, say never,
never.
It will never contradict the Word of God.
Amen.
It'll never tell you something other than what it says in here to do. And it's so important for you and I to know that. Never will the Holy Spirit say anything that is contrary to Scripture, ever. So if you have ever wondered if it's the Spirit speaking to you or yourself speaking to you, this is one of the ways that you can be assured that it's Him, okay? And that is by checking it with the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
Now, these are all basic things, but you know what I've found happens? After a period of time and after you have, quote, matured in the Lord, you kind of forget the basics. And though you know they're there, and though you know this to be true, it's not something that you think about very often. So I just want to remind you this morning, you know, that the Holy Spirit can speak to you, that the Word of God can speak to you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Was it a rough night last night? Huh?
Just taking it in.
Okay. Well, I slept 2 hours. So, yeah, it was a rough night last night. Now, speaking of the Holy Spirit, okay, that priceless gift, Jesus said this in John 16:13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Now, the word guide in this verse is the Greek word hagiageo, okay? And it is eye-opening what this scripture means, what this word means, and how this really speaks to us. This word is taken from the root word hodos, which translated to English is the word for road, okay? So the hodos that goes by the church is Church Street, all right? All right. Now listen to this. When hodos becomes hodagos, okay, it describes a person, one who knows all the roads, okay? All the roads. Essentially, it's the Greek word for tour guide, all right? So what's the basic definition of a tour guide? Well, one that shows a traveler the safest course through an unknown territory, right? How many of you have ever felt like your life is an unknown territory? Amen. And you're faced with an unknown territory. That's right. Why is this stuff so important? I'll tell you why. Because a tour guide knows the safest, the fastest, the easiest route to take to get you from point A to point B. Or maybe I should say point L to point H, life to heaven, okay? What's so interesting about this Greek word is that it also is the same word that's used to describe a guide for the blind. Do you ever feel like you're blind?
Yes.
As far as what's coming next, you don't know what you would do. You just can't see it, all right? Please understand, if somebody is blind, they have to put all their trust in their tour guide to lead them safely and to lead them correctly where they need to go. And by using this particular word, Jesus is saying to you and I, let the Holy Spirit be your eyes and your ears. Trust him, because he is the Spirit of truth, and he is able to see what you cannot see, and he will never lead you astray. But he will lead you, but he will never lead you astray. So it's no accident that Jesus chose this word, okay, to use to describe the Holy Spirit, because he is the greatest and the wisest and the most trustworthy tour guide that we could have and that we could ever hope for to lead us through this life, because he knows what is in front of you. And you might ask the question, well, how does he know what's in front of me? Because he's already been there. Come on, people. He's already been there. He knows how you should respond. He knows how you should react. He knows what's coming. He's already been there. He's been there before you. And now he's leading you. He knows the best roads. He knows the best route for you to take. And he knows the paths that you need to avoid. And if you let him lead, say, I'm going to let him lead. He will help you avoid countless. Say countless.
Countless.
All right. Countless demonic attacks. He will take you through the hard times and through the difficult times as well as the good times. And when you will come out better in the end, having surrendered to his leading. You know, we are so focused on being our own people, our own man, our own woman. That's not where it's at for a Christian. For a Christian, it's about being led. Amen? It's about surrendering yourself to being led by the Spirit of God, who will tell you what you need to do, where you need to go, how long you need to stay there, and when to keep your mouth shut. If you are a born-again child of God, raise your hand if you're a born-again child of God. Yes, you raise your hand, Gary. Yeah, okay. All right, I got you all that time. If you're a born-again child of God, then you have God's guarantee, his guarantee that you can be led by his Holy Spirit. Notice I said can be. If you don't want to be, you can refuse to be. But I don't know about you where this is concerned. I want to be led by the Spirit of God. I want to be led by the Spirit of God whether I have a day off. I want to be led by the Spirit of God, whether I'm going to be preaching, whether I'm going to be meeting with someone, or if I'm just going to drive my Jeep or ride my bike all day. I want to be led by the Spirit of God in everything that I do. Never in the Word does it say a single place, you should be led by the Spirit of God only when you minister. No. It's all the time. All the time. That's why I can never understand why some denominations will throw the Holy Spirit away. Never mind, I could get into a lot of that. But as a born-again child of the living God, okay, his promise to you and I through the Apostle Paul is found in Romans 8, 13 and 14, and it's this, okay? For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. That's pretty black and white, isn't it? You will die. But if you by the Spirit, but if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Why? For as many as are led, what? What about the rest of you? For as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. These are the daughters of God. These are the children of God. The word led is translated from the small little Greek word called ago, okay? Ago, which simply means to lead, okay? This word was used to depict animals, all right, that were led by a rope that was tied around their necks. We've talked about this before. And they followed wherever their owner led them. That's what the animals did with this rope tied around their neck. The owner would simply tug or pull, didn't have to pull hard, didn't have to pull, you know, really along, just a gentle tug or a pull, and the animal would follow. But what's so interesting is that the word ago, translated here as led, forms the root for the word agnon, okay? Agnon, which describes an intense conflict, such as a struggle in a wrestling match or a struggle of the human will against the divine will. Probably one of the most important lessons that we can learn from this word ago, you can learn it by me telling you a story that's rather goofy, but it makes a lot of sense, okay? Are you ready for a story? Yeah. Now, I don't tell you a lot of stories. This is not my forte, all right? And when I get done, you're going to say, yeah, he's right. There was a woman, all right, an older woman, who lived on a very small piece of land on the outskirts of an equally small village. Every morning she would tie a rope around the neck of her cow and lead it off her property to the front of a friend's property to feed. And the cow would obediently follow her. My experience with leading a cow is not the same. Then she would pull a stake out of her pocket and tie the other end of the rope around it and drive it into the ground. Then she would pat the cow on the back and she would go back home, okay? Good cow. Do cows respond to praise, you think, or not? Probably not. Later that day, as night would fall, the woman would go back to the cow. She would pull the stake out of the ground and take the rope and lead the cow back home. Not yank on the rope, not just lead the cow back home. Day after day, she did the very same thing. One day, somebody asked her, why does that huge cow follow you and let you lead it so easily? The woman answered, you want me to do it in my best old lady voice? Or because? No. Because the cow has been trained to follow me since he was a small calf. In other words, it was that cow's habit to be led. It happened every day. It just didn't happen every once in a while. It happened every day. So what's the point of that story? To tell you that the absolute best time to learn the importance of following the leading of the Holy Spirit is now. Amen? It needs to become a habit in your life. It needs to be your go-to, not your, oh, yeah, right? And you know what I'm talking about by that, right? Not just suddenly, you know? That needs to be your go-to, to always be led by the Spirit's voice. The very best habit, because not all habits are wrong, okay? Many of them are wrong. But it's not wrong to have the habit of reading your Bible. It's not wrong to have the habit of praying at 4 o'clock in the morning, 6, whenever, okay? And this is another habit that is a very good habit to have. Learning how to listen and submit to the leading of the Holy Spirit is one of the very, very most important things that you can learn as a Christian, okay? The Holy Spirit, how can I say this? The gifts have not ceased. The Holy Spirit has not stopped. And the last I read, felt, understood, learned, been taught, Jesus hasn't stopped either. And it was Jesus that said, hey, I'm going away, and it's better for you if I go away because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. If I stay, I can be this one place at one time, but when the Holy Spirit comes, he can be everywhere all the time. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So he sent that Holy Spirit because he's not here. Well, last time I looked, he's not back yet. Amen? So the Holy Spirit is still here doing his job, leading us into all righteousness, convicting us of sin, showing us the right way to go and the wrong way to go, saying stop, or saying go ahead. And he does that every day of our lives. And we are promised that every day of our lives, we can hear that. Every day of our lives, as he leads us, we can hear it. He knows the best route. He knows the best way to get there. He knows the best time to go. He knows what you should say when you get there. If you are totally confused today about what your next step in life is going to be, ask the Holy Spirit. Ask him to talk to you. Ask him to confirm it to you. Amen? And you can say, well, he doesn't talk to me. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Because this promise is not for an elite few. It's for every born-again child of God. Every born-again child of God. And you know what? You might say, well, you know, I'm getting older. I can't do that. I can't be taught a new trick. No, it's never too late. Say it's never too late. Say it like you mean it, like you're happy about it. It's never too late. The more you follow the gentle tug or the pull of the Holy Spirit, the less of a struggle your life will be. You know, a lot of people say this. They say, well, Jesus said through much tribulation you will enter the kingdom of God. He did not say it is his will for you to go through much tribulation.
Amen.
God is good.
All the time.
Do you see what I'm saying? It's a fact, and I'm going to prepare you for it. It's not going to be all grins and roses, you know. It's not just going to be easy sailing. But he doesn't say, I'm going to make it so it isn't easy sailing because I'm going to teach you a lesson, man. I'm going to teach you a lesson. You know what? I know that he turns things around that happen in our lives that aren't good and teaches us things. But I think it's his will that he would be able to teach us by us listening to the Holy Spirit. Amen? It does not say it is his will that we go through much tribulation. Amen. He promises, all right? He promises to show you what to say, and he promises to show you what not to say. Sometimes that second part is more important than the first part. And he promises to show you what to do and what not to do. Again, the second part is probably the more important. And he promises to lead you where to go and where not to go. Again, the second part, you're starting to get it, right? He will protect you from danger. And help you make the very best decisions in whatever circumstances you find yourself. Do we still make bad decisions? Yeah. Was it hidden and told you to make that bad decision? Sorry. It wasn't. And here we get to the quandary again of the mature Christian who knows what to do but doesn't do it. Why doesn't he do it? Just doesn't remember. They aren't evil, wrong, or they just don't remember. Why don't they remember? Well, as long as you ask. Because they don't read. Because they don't study. We love you, Pastor Wes. I've said it a million times. The difference in my life when I got saved, the thing that made the difference stick, was God gave me a love for the Word of God. Well, yeah, I know, but I just don't read. You better start. Yeah, but I don't have that love for the Word. You know what? God rewards your hunger for the Word with more hunger for the Word. Do I ever have times where I don't feel like reading? I'm not going to tell you. But what? You know? How do you know? All right. Psalm 23, 3b. The Lord is your shepherd. Say, the Lord is my shepherd. Who leads you in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. What? I thought it was for me. Well, now wait a minute. All right. The more and more you obediently follow God's leading, whether it be through his word or it be through listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit, and the more you experience and exemplify the success of being led by the word or by the Spirit, the more it brings glory to the name of Jesus. Isn't that what you want anyway? I want things to be good for me, but I want, at the end of my life, I want God to say, you know, you brought glory to my son. You brought glory to my name. You know, I mean, that's why we're here, isn't it? That's why we're here, to bring glory to the name of Jesus Christ, to bring glory to the name of God the Father, amen, and the Holy Spirit, and to exemplify that to everybody, everybody. I don't know about you this morning, but this promise is both comforting and encouraging to me. Encouraging because at those times when you feel like nobody understands and nobody's around, he still is. And he's ready to lead you out of that place that you find yourself in. I mean, to know that when I need direction for my life, that is promised to me in God's word by the good shepherd himself. Amen? I mean, that's good stuff. Come on, hear me. That's good stuff. He truly is the God of guidance. And this week, when you face, and I don't know if you're going to face anything this week, but probably you will, you know, when you face problems, why don't you stop and say, okay, Lord, what now? What next? Okay, Holy Spirit, what next? Speak loudly, because I can't hear you good. And it'll make a difference in your life. If you include him every day of your life, and you become so entrenched in asking him what, when, where, and why. And you become accustomed to being led by his spirit. You're going to feel like something is wrong if you aren't being led by his spirit. Something's missing. That's what I want. I want to feel that something's missing when it isn't happening. Amen? But I know, if you'll take time to do that this week, if you'll take time just to stop, and instead of reacting, right, which I have been known to do occasionally, instead of reacting, you say, okay, God, now what? Now what? I guarantee you that he will tell you and he will show you. Why? Because he says so in his word. And he is the absolute best tour guide, because that's what you're on. You're on a journey in this life, because this place is not our home. Hallelujah. You ought to shout, this place is not our home. Amen. He'll guide us from here to there. Amen? Amen? Amen. Glory to God. That's all I have for you today. But next week we get to look at the sixth promise, and that is God made us the guarantee of supernatural confidence. I like it when I'm confident. I've seen people that are very confident, and it means they're lying, but that's not what I'm talking about. I love it when I can be confident in my God. Amen? Amen. Why don't you pray with me, please?